Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley. James producing the operation. One thing I didn't get to, James, is when Shedeur Sanders spoke. You know, son of Dion, Colorado, obviously. Got a little extra money. We'll get to that to join the Big 12. A lot of talk on Shedeur.
You talk about everyone gets to play him as their Super Bowl?
Yeah, this kind of made me think of Chiefs when I heard this.
I remember first media day when I was in HBCU, I said, well, we won't lose a game. I'm undefeated in the SWAC, so I already know what the expectation comes with. I know where everybody's Super Bowl, so I'm really just, I always stay level-headed, stay grounded, because I would never want to be that guy, look back, and not being able to take advantage of the moment that we have right now.
I don't think he's everybody's Super Bowl. I think early on when Colorado got that buzz because they beat a TCU team that was in the national title the year before, but we knew TCU wasn't going to be as good last year. Colorado beats them. They exposed USC, and USC turned out to not be a good football team later on, almost lost to Colorado State. Colorado is not everybody's Super Bowl. To be honest with you, the Chiefs are. The Chiefs are everybody's Super Bowl, but you know what they do? They keep winning. For the Colorado Buffaloes to claim that, they have to win some, don't they? You've got to win something to claim you're everybody's Super Bowl, because if not, yeah, it falls on deaf ears.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad they gave 8 teams Super Bowl victories last year.
Yeah, they did. 4-8 last year. They lost 6 games down the stretch to Stanford, UCLA, Oregon State, Arizona, Washington State, and Utah, finished with 4 wins. They won 3 of those first 4 weeks, by the way. They're 3-0, and everybody loved them.
Oh, the hype was at an all-time high.
I mean, the Big Noon kickoff on Fox was there 2 or 3 straight weeks. ESPN Game Day was there. I give him credit, man. That was the biggest marketing thing ever. I mean, I like Dion. I like what he could do. But he's a little bit more old school than I think a lot of these kids realize. A lot more old school. Saying we're every team's Super Bowl, you're not when you keep getting spanked. You start to become every team's homecoming game. It's what you become. Everybody loves being the Chiefs. People beat the Chiefs. Oh, it means something. Well, it means something. Anyway, I got a kick out of that from the Big 12 media days. The Home Run Derby, we've got our field and what the field's going to be. And you have Pete Alonso, the polar bear. He's won it twice. Marcelo Ozuna, Odolis Garcia. You knew they were going to pick a Ranger. Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr., Teoscar Hernandez, Jose Ramirez, and Alex Baum. Boom. And Alec has the lowest odds. The highest odds are Pete Alonso, then Marcel, then Adolis, then Gunner, then Bobby. Gunner's a plus 550. It's FanDuel. He's plus 550. Bobby Wood Jr. is plus 600. And Alec Baum, I think, only has 11 home runs so far this season. But it's guys like that sometimes surprise people. But I couldn't be happier for this home run derby and what's about to happen. Talked to last week, before it was announced that Bobby Witt Jr. was going to be in the home run derby. And J.J. Piccolo talked about that as well. He had no issues with this. The Royals general manager, this is before he was selected. But even if he was selected, has no issues with it.
Well, it wouldn't bother us at all. Bobby's done a couple home run derbies. He did one in the Futures game a couple years ago, and he did one in an all-star game at a major league park when he was a high school kid. Bobby knows his body so well, and if Bobby was asked and he decided to do it, it's because he feels like it wouldn't affect him. So it wouldn't bother us at all. I think it's a great event. Everybody points to the one or two guys that have struggled the second half of the year, but there's a ton of guys that have not. So we always tend to, you know, well, there was this one guy that, you know, and I remember it was Bobby Abreu years ago.
Yeah.
That fell off second half. And, there's more guys, far more guys, that don't fall off the second half than do fall off. So Bobby's a special player, and if Major League Baseball is asking him to be in the Home Run Derby, that's a clear acknowledgement that he's a star in this game, and that's quite the honor.
Well, he is a star in this game. People are starting to talk about him nationally. He definitely played fantasy baseball. You knew who the hell he is. He's that good. But that was the general manager, what he thought about it. And really, I mean, guys hurting their swing or whatever, these new rules kind of help that out. And at the end, you play with the outs, 1, 2, and 3 outs. You're not worried about making a little swing. His brother-in-law going to pitch to him instead of his father. People thought that maybe his father, the former Texas Ranger, would be pitching to him, but his dad's 60 years old. Can you still hum it at 85 miles an hour? I don't know. Honestly, they should use a pitching machine. That way everybody has the same pitcher for the Home Run Derby. But here was Matt Quatero, the Royals manager, on with the Fesco in the Morning yesterday, talking about Bobby being the Home Run Derby.
Oh, it'll be special. Yeah, I mean, I think what his hometown means him and how many people come out to support him when we're there, you know, just in a regular season game, not to mention the All-Star, you know, the All-Star festivities that go with it. I'm really happy for him. I think he's got a great chance. I mean, when you watch him take BP on a regular basis, he's got as good a chance as anybody.
I think he does have as good a chance. And you got family and friends. You're playing in the state of Texas. He's from Texas. He won the high school home run derby, to be honest with you. They mentioned that, but he did end up winning that when he was there. Gives us something fun to watch on Tuesday night.
Yeah, probably a little bit extra juices going, a little bit more adrenaline. Like you were saying, friends and family, and then the hometown. I'm excited. I think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely crush, and I mean that full pun intended. He's going to absolutely crush this home run derby.
Well, and I'll say this too. I know he's sitting there with 15 now, but if they switch ballparks and you put Gunner here and put Bobby there, I think it'd be different because then you're playing all those games in New York, which is a band box as well, and a lot of band boxes in that division.
Yeah.
And I think he'd rake. Speaking of that, did you know the ESPYs are on tonight? They start in about 18 minutes. I didn't even realize that because usually it's during the All-Star break, usually, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't like award shows anyway. I'm not a fan of watching the Oscars or the Grammy, any of them, to be honest with you. And the ESPYs have kind of gotten that way as well, where don't care about it. Chiefs were up for 3 awards, top male athlete, Mahomes, top NFL player, Mahomes, and best team, Kansas City Chiefs. They've already given out one of the awards. They gave out best NFL player to win to Patrick Mahomes. That's already been given out before the thing even starts.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Is it, though? Because he didn't win MVP.
You know, I was talking with a couple buddies yesterday about that. What does MVP mean anymore? Is it the best player in the league, or is it truly what it says, the most valuable player to your team?
You know, that's a good debate, and there's a lot of interpretation about that. It's like the comeback player of the year. The AP wants people to vote for doing things on what you did on the field. Not right. Like if you had a bad year, then all of a sudden you're good again.
Right.
It's not like being Baker Mayfield, being bad to being good.
Yeah.
Or Joe Flacco being bad and good. They went.
Sure.
I think if you separate them like a DeMar Hamlin type deal, where you come back from a serious heart injury like he did, and then like a comeback player of the year, but you got to separate it. I'm tired of guys suck and then all of a sudden being the comeback player of the year because they sucked the year before. Wasn't like an injury. Like if Aaron Rodgers won it this year, that'd be fine because he only got to play 4 plays before he hurt the Achilles. That right. Makes sense if he would go out and have a good year.
Or Alex Smith would be a good example.
100%.
Of a legitimate comeback player of the year.
It's like coach of the year where AP coach of the year. You know, Andy Reid's only won it once. 2002, he won it with the Eagles. He hasn't won it more than once. You might say, well, but Belichick won it 3 times. Because what it is that award basically means you sucked the year before and then are good the next year, right. Like Cleveland.
Who had the biggest turnaround?
Because Stefanski's won it twice.
Yeah.
Matt Nagy's actually won it once. Andy Reid is number 2 in history in postseason wins, only behind Belichick. And probably can catch him, as a matter of fact. But Andy's not going to get it. You know why? His worst record in Kansas City is 9-7. If he'd go out and win five games and turn around and win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl, he'd win Coach of the Year. But I think when you win all the time, it's tougher than being bad because you're everybody's Super Bowl. It's like what Stewart said, you're everybody's Super Bowl. They're all gunning to beat you, and yet you still maintain you go on a run like the Chiefs did. Not only that, the way they turned the season around, if that Raiders Christmas Day loss was terrible. I mean, that was horrible. I remember the post-game show that day. Everybody was so down on them. I mean, that was not – that kind of ruined your Christmas, how bad they played. And they turned things around against the Bengals without Joe Burrow, but they still beat the Bengals. And then the rest was history. He's going a hell of a run in the postseason.
Yeah, that was a turning point to the season. And then to your point, with the Coach of the Year, I think Andy Reid's best chance of winning that was his first year here in Kansas City. And then after that, he's done nothing but had success. So
and he should have won it that year because what happened that year, they were first pick on the clock. It was a year where we had Inside Edition actually at 610 interview because of the booing at Matt Cassel. Okay. And then you had the Javon Belcher incident. You had a ton of incidents with this team. They win two games, arguably the worst season by a Kansas City professional team in history. Sure. Oh, he comes in here and starts 9-0. He starts 9-0 and makes the postseason the next year. That is when he actually deserved it.
Yeah, how do you not win the award that year?
Not that it matters, but it's you sit back there sometimes and go, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm not big on awards. This is why I'm not big on awards.
Yep. I'll take Super Bowls over ESPY awards or AP Coach of the Year awards any day.
Bruce Arians won it that year when he had to take over for the Colts that year that he won it over Andy Reid. But it's like at the NFL award ceremony they do the night before the Super Bowl. The Chiefs didn't have like any finalists. With assistant coaches, none of it. And Spags didn't win anything, wasn't even nominated. And you're sitting there going, all right, what are we doing here? One team is, and the 49ers really didn't have that many people either. But I'm sitting here going, what are we doing here? Here's the Chiefs in the Super Bowl for the second straight year, but yet no coach or anybody getting any credit for what they're doing. It's like that there's just this team that just goes, they're just actually a complete team, right? Mahomes sometimes doesn't put up the godly numbers, 5,000 yards passing and 50 touchdowns. He doesn't have to because he's a good player and he wills you to win. And like you said, is he the MVP or not? Well, he wins in the postseason and he's starting to build up his postseason victories. And he's only gone to the AFC title game every single year. He's a starter. The one year he didn't was the year he wasn't a starter and Alex Smith was. And I still wonder what would happen if they would have put him in at halftime of that Tennessee Titans game.
Oh, man, it's one of the greatest.
That was a wild card game, but could they have gone further with Mahomes? I think so, because no one had film on him. And then he goes and wins the NFL MVP the year after.
Yeah.
So what would have happened? Like, what would have happened had they put him in that game? Like, when Nick Saban switched out Jalen Hurts for Tua in the national title game against Georgia and he came back and won the game?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, well, I think we all knew when we saw Mahomes that year against the Broncos. I think we knew that he was destined to be great.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Anyway, that starts here in about 13 minutes. So again, I didn't even know what happened today. I was walking out and Dusty was talking about, hey, well, you're going to be on Derek Nesby's tonight. And I just automatically assumed it was still during All Star Week, which should be, because they got the Reno Tahoe thing going on. All the guys are in Reno now. I mean, that is a star studded list of athletes that are at the Reno Tahoe Open. I guess that's short flight out to L.A. for the ceremony or whatever, but it's definitely not the same it used to be. To be honest with you, it's watered down. And I know we're talking about awards, and I hate awards, but I'm talking about them anyway, so I guess they do win. I guess in the end, they do win.
That's right.
But I want to hit on something more on that. We'll get back to something we said just a few minutes ago next.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.